Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for navigating our niches and our aisles, the privilege of being participatory in this place. You're God and you're God alone. You're above all and all is beneath you. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Health and strength. Sanity of mind. Supplying us our every need. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, our comforter and keeper, our guide, our helper. Father, now we decrease, you increase. Less of me, more of you. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Now, Lord, make us one. Pulpit and pew. Lord, that you'll send your word and your word will come as snow and rain fall from heaven. Watereth the earth to give seed to the sower, bread to the eater. So shall your word go forth and will not return unto your void, but it will accomplish all that you send it to accomplish. Lord, give us the mind of Christ, that we'll be sacrificial in our living and giving. Giving of ourselves for your holy will. Lord, we're here as broken cars are in a mechanic shop. Work on us. Tune us up. Lord, that we'll run properly. Serve your purpose. Lord, we pray that you cancel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy. That nothing will hinder your work and word and your worship. Thank you for what has already transpired and what is going to happen at the preaching and believing of your holy word. Lord, we pray for those who are beyond us, who are tuned in and tapped in on and through the virtual outlets. Lord, some are sick, bereaved. But thank you that you are still God who sent your word. Miracles happen. Sick are made whole. The bereaved are comforted. So bless, Lord, those of us who are here and those who are there in their respective places. Have your way in us and through us for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Let every heart say amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Bless him with all your might. Come on, you can do better than that. Bless him with all your might. All of your soul and mind. Give him your best praise. God bless you beyond measure. He has brought you through what you could not bring yourself through. He has done for you what you could not do for yourself. What a joy it is to be alive in the house of the Lord once again, in the land of the dying, on our way to the land of the living. God bless us one more time. Amen. You ought to be happy about that. Come on, smile at somebody. Smile at somebody. Come on. Come on, smile. Turn all around and smile at somebody. This is your new smile. This is your new frown. Smile at somebody. And just let them know how blessed they are to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here. A lot of others could not say the same, but it's good for us to be here. The Lord has blessed us enough already. Give him a spirit-filled, sensible praise. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Thank God for these on fire men. Amen. Praising the Lord in spirit and in truth. Worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Musicians, and certainly to the deacons, trustees, the deacon, trustee, wives, preacher wives who stood and devoted us this morning. We thank you for posturing our hearts for the praise and worship and word of God. This morning at 8 o'clock, Lady Rogers was here and two of my two beautiful daughters, Taylor and Kennedy. And I want to thank you for praying them through. I said a few weeks ago, God has domesticated COVID. He has put a collar on COVID. It was a wild beast. But God has domesticated it. It is not as bad as it was. And we thank God for that. Amen. Some people may credit vaccines, but I credit God. However He chooses to do it, I'm glad about it. And I give Him praise and thanks. Amen. Honor and glory for blessing us beyond our ability to think. The Bible says He does exceeding abundantly above what we could ever ask or think. Amen. How many can be a witness? Amen. He blessed me beyond I have ever been able to think He would bless me. And I'm glad about it. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, look at the screen. Amen. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, and said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, obeying the Lord against all odds. Look at another and say, obeying the Lord against all odds. Come on, with louder voices, help me shout at the virtual audience by saying, obeying the Lord against all odds. Amen. Amen. obeying the Lord against all odds. Obeying the Lord against all odds. Obeying the Lord does not always seem logical. In other words, obeying the Lord does not always make sense. There are times when obeying the Lord makes you look crazy. Even to the obedient heart, it seems odd. There are times when obeying the Lord takes you out of the norm, out of your regular routine, and places you in a place of uncomfortability and difficulty. Brothers and sisters, obeying the Lord is not easy. But I beseech you, I encourage you, to obey the Lord when obeying the Lord seems unprofitable, unbeneficial, and when obeying the Lord doesn't make sense. I want you to understand that God has never asked you what you think. For God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So as heaven is higher than the earth, so are His ways and thoughts higher than ours. We have to obey God when it don't make sense. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord and lean not to thine own understanding. See, our understanding is too shallow. He says, lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct us. He will guide us. He will order us. It don't make sense all the time. And God wants us to obey Him if we understand or not. He gives a command, and the command doesn't always make sense, but if we obey the command, He attaches to the command promised blessings. That has been God's way in Old and New Testament. In Old Testament, He said to Joshua that if you obey the word and you turn not from it to your right or left hand, but you choose to do all that is written therein, then will I make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. It didn't make sense to walk around Jericho walls 7 days, 7 times on the seventh day, and on the 7 times shout, and the walls would come down. It didn't make sense. But when Joshua and the people of God did what God said, the walls came down. Didn't make sense for them to go up on a mountain and beseech God to answer by fire. But when they did what God said, God gave them the promised blessing. It didn't make sense for Moses, Aaron, and Ur to go up on the mountain while they were fighting in the valley, and his arms held up. And as long as his arms were held up, Israel prevailed. But when his arms fell, Israel faced loss in battle. Doesn't make sense.
But when you obey God, God attaches to his command promised blessings. Notice in the text, Jesus had preached in Galilee, taught in their synagogues, according to Luke chapter 4, verse 44. And when he finished his teaching in the synagogues of Galilee, he went down by the waters. And I like to refer to it as the Sea of Galilee. The text says that he went down by the Lake of Gennesaret. This particular body of water carries several names in the Bible. In Numbers chapter 34, verse 11, it is known Gennesaret. In Judges chapter 12, verse 3, it is known as Gennesaret. In Luke, it is called Gennesaret. From the plain of that name upon the northwestern shore, it received the name Galilee from the district to which it belonged. And according to John chapter 6, in the latter times, it bore the name Tiberias, from the city of that name of the western shore. Jesus went down by the waters, and there he saw two empty boats, and the owners of the boat, being Peter and James and John, listed in the text, they were washing their nets after a long night of fishing. They had washing their nets after they had caught nothing but grim and seaweed. They were washing their net. And according to verses 1 through 3, Jesus requested that Peter, he get in the boat with him and launch out a little ways from the shore. He was using Peter's boat as a platform to teach the people that gathered around him. He could not stand on the shore because the people were pressing upon him to hear the word of God. The multitude were pressing so close and hard upon him that he was in danger of being pushed in the water, into the sea. So he requested Peter boat so he could get in and teach from the boat. Notice verse 3 says, Jesus entered the boat and prayed Peter that he would thrust out a little from the lake. Let me pause parenthetically to say, what a sight for eyes to see. A people pressing upon the Lord Jesus Christ to hear the word of God. What a sight to see. To see people eager to hear. To see people eager to receive the word of God. They were so hungry and thirsty for the word of God that they were pressing upon Jesus. They were not lackadaisical. They were not indifferent about the word, but they were pressing. They were eager to hear. Oh, if we had people today that you didn't have to remind about Sunday school, you didn't have to remind about Bible study, you didn't have to remind about church service, if you would just press in to hear the word of God. This is a sight. So unlike people now, people are apathetic, indifferent, and lackadaisical about the word of God. But these people, they were excited, so much so that they pressed. Oh, what Sunday school class would be like if you had students running into class, asking the teacher, is there a word from the Lord? Oh, what would small group meetings look like if people were pressing into small group meetings asking the leader, is there a word from the Lord? Oh, what worship service would look like on Sunday if we didn't have to pump and prime, but you were excited and you came pressing into the sanctuary asking, is there a word from the Lord? What a sight for eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see. That the people pressed upon, pressed in unto Jesus to hear the word of God. Bible says he sat down and talked. He didn't stand up. He sat down. That Jewish teachers of that day, when they would go into the synagogue, they would sit down to teach. One particular case when they caught the woman in adultery and they brought her in to Jesus, he was sitting down teaching in the synagogue, and they threw her at his feet. He sat down on the boat, and the boat being a little ways from the shore, he taught the people the word of God. Now, I want you to understand that there is something that always precedes miracles. What precedes miracles is teaching and preaching of the word. God gives you the word first, and then he reveals to you that if you apply the word, what will happen. And he taught them. He taught them the word. And according to verse 4, when he finished teaching the word of God, teaching the people, he turns to Peter and gives Peter simple commands. So the first thing, if you're going to obey God or obey the Lord against all odds, you have to see the commands of the Lord. If you obey what? You obey the commands of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that God is not into suggesting or into suggestions. He's into commands. He speaks, he talks commands. He's not suggesting to Peter that he go out a little further and let down his net. He's commanding Peter. Now, this is where most people have a problem with God. They have a problem with God telling them what to do. For some, this word command is a bad word because they don't want anyone to tell them what to do. But listen, if you're going to be blessed by God the way the Bible tells you you will be blessed, you have to obey the commands of the Lord. God is not interested in blessing and benefiting you and you doing your own thing. No, he blesses and benefits you when you live a life surrendered, obedient unto his commands. Look at somebody and tell them it's simple commands. Nothing complicated. Simple commands. Look at someone else and tell them simple commands. Oh, simple commands. Listen to the commands of the Lord. He says to Peter first, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. Launch out, move to deeper waters. The word launch is in the singular, which means that Jesus addressed Peter, Simon, only to move to the deeper waters. We see that because, notice, after the miracle takes place, when they got ready to draw in the fish, he had to beckon for. Which means that they were not in the same place as he was when the Lord blessed him. So when God gave the command, when Jesus gave the command to Peter, he was talking directly to Peter. Listen, there are times God will speak directly to you with a command for you to do. And what you can't do when God is speaking to you directly is start looking around, seeing who else he's speaking to. You have to understand that God knows your address. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows how to speak to you. Let me give you an example. When he got ready to get Lazarus up, the reason he called Lazarus by name, that if he wouldn't have called Lazarus by name, everybody in the cemetery would have got up. There are times he speaks directly to you. You don't worry about who else is doing and what everybody else is doing. You cheat yourself out of your blessings by looking at everybody else, talking about everybody else. He's speaking to Peter, directly to Peter. Butler says that the fishermen must do more than row a few yards from the shore. That fishermen that expect a boat of blessing must get involved in long chain. Said, we have too many Christians and churches who are shallow water in their efforts and then wonder why their boats are not full of blessings. You don't have to get mad at anybody else because God is blessing them. All you need to do is give your ear and your heart to obey God. And when God said, you may not understand it, but it's best for you to do it because God's commandments always have promises attached to it. He says, launch out. Get away from the bank. Get away from the shallow water. Get away from your self-dependence. You know, shallow water, you can stand up in shallow water. And shallow water signifies by way of text where you are comfortable. Where you are most comfortable. He says, go beyond your comfort zone. He says, launch out in faith. Launch out in worship, launch out in work, launch out in praise, launch out in love, launch out in service, launch out in your obedience unto the Lord. Leave the shallow place. Look at somebody and tell them, leave the shallow place. You've been hanging around in the kiddie pool too long. Now it's time for you to dive off the diving board and swim. You got to leave the shallow place. Leave the foot tub and go on out into the deep waters. He says, launch out. That's the first command that he gives Peter. But then he gives him a second command. He says, launch out, but not just sit in deep waters. There's something you must do. I'm preaching, Ben, y'all saying amen. He says, let down your nets for a draw. Let down your nets. Notice, he says, for a draw of fish, or let down your nets for the taking of fish. Now, I like this because it reveals to Peter, if Peter is paying attention to the Lord's command, to the Lord's word, it reveals to Peter that he's not doing it in vain.
That's right.
Because draw means to take in fish. Jesus said to Peter, you let down your net for a draw. Let down your nets to take in fish. I like this because, again, the commandments of God always with the promises of God attached. Now, you remember Jesus after he had fed the 5,000 and he told the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, the fact that he said, and go to the other side, being that Jesus is God, means that they were going to make it to the other side. But on their way to the other side, they encountered a storm. Y'all remember the storm was so severe that there was water in the boat, and it seemed as if they were going to perish, but they should have hung on to the words of the side. See, when the Lord tells you you're going to make it to the other side, I don't care what kind of storm you face on your way to the other side, you ought to face that storm shouting and praising the Lord, because if he said you're going to make it, you're going to make it. You ought to help me preach this thing this morning. Tell somebody, if the Lord said it, you gonna make it. I don't care who's on your trail. I don't care what kind of trouble you're experiencing in your life. I don't care what kind of storm have come about in your life. If the Lord said you gonna make it, you gonna make it. He says, let down your nets for a draw. You're going to catch something, Peter. If you do it, you're going to catch something. But some of us are so used to fishing and not catching anything, we don't even believe it when the Lord tells us. He says, you're going to catch fish. Let down your nets. Now watch the text, because not only do you see the command, you see the condition in which Jesus gives the command. He gives a command at an unlikely time. Notice the time. The time is daytime. The place was in the deep. But any of you know about oriental fishing? It took place at night in shallow water. Now here it is, Jesus talking to a veteran fisherman, and Jesus, not a fisherman by trade, is talking to somebody who has fished all of his life. And he gives him a command at an unlikely time. See, God don't have to wait until our so-called time is appropriate. See, he can command you in the most oddest of time to experience what you have never experienced before. See, some of you waiting on the time to be right and the situation to be right to move and act on the Lord. Listen, it's right when God tells you to do it. It may not seem right, but it's right because God is in charge. He says, launch out and drop your nets in the daytime in deep water. Peter, simple command, odd, but simple. You see the time, but you see the tiredness. Because the text says that they had been fishing. Peter and the other fishermen had been fishing all night. And it says they toiled, which means they really exerted themselves, and they were tired from casting and pulling in empty nets. 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 They did that all around one place, and then they moved to another place, and they would cast their nets. and pull in emptiness. They cast all night and pull in emptiness all night. And some of you have been fishing before. It's just something about catching fish that keeps you from being tired or getting tired. As long as you're catching, you're all right. You feel good. You have energy. But mess around and go fishing. And you cast your line and pull in nothing. Do that all day. And watch and see how tired you be. They did what they had done before. They did what they had succeeded in doing before. And this particular time, they caught nothing. And here it is, Jesus has the audacity. They said, do it again. Isn't that something? How the Lord, under your own instruction, will let you just tire yourself out. Under your own resolution, let you just tire yourself out. And then he comes after you are broken by failure. I'm preaching in here. And he says to you, do again what you have done, but the difference is, do it under my command. Now watch this. He gives them command. You see, the condition is daytime, deep water, and they are tired. Now here it is. He gives compensation. Because now he tells them to cast their nets again. Or he tells Peter to cast his net again. Peter said, it's not going to work. I tried that before. I mean, the Lord, we've been out here all night. And you tell me to do it again. Now, watch Peter. Peter, he uses the word nevertheless to reveal that in his mind, it's unlikely to work. See, you know, when you are in a bad way and somebody suggests to you things of God and you give them your spiel about how you have tried those things before, that you've been to church, you've been this and that and all that, and you have done that before and it didn't work. And now God gives you a command to do the same thing. And Peter says, nevertheless, which means I'll do it, but I don't have any faith in it. There are no fishes out there in that water. But listen, God can make fishes be wherever he wants fish to be. See, God don't have to take you to the fish. He can make the fish come to you. God don't have to bring the blessing to you. He can make you go to the blessing. Or he can make the blessing come to you. He said that when you obey him, he will make the blessing run you down, take you over in the city, in the field, and coming in and going out. He don't have to. You go to the blessing. He'll make the blessing come to you. Do I have anybody in this room who can be a witness that God can take me to the blessing? blessing. He brought the blessings to me. You don't have to chase after blessings. All you got to do is use your time to chase after God. If the Lord said it, he will bring it to pass. If the Lord said it, it shall be done. He said, let down your net for a draught. And when Peter let down his net, the Bible says that when he began to pull up his net, there were so many fish in his net that he couldn't pull in the fish. That the nets were so full that it began to break. You know, God can bless you where it breaks you. God can bless you so much that you will have to be a blessing to somebody else. God can bless you where you can't pull it in by yourself. He had to call for James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and said, come help me pull in the fish. Oh, what a blessing. What compensation the Lord gives when you obey his holy word. May not understand it, but you need to obey it. You need to help me preach and look at somebody and tell them, you may not understand it. It may not make sense. It may be against all odds, but you need to obey it. Because when you obey the Lord, he will attach promised blessings. Is there anybody here who can be a witness this morning that you didn't know how it was going to come out, but you stepped out on the Lord? You only had a word from the Lord, and that was all you need. Because when you obey the Lord, he blessed your life. And the reason you are sitting up in here or standing in here this morning is because you obeyed the Lord. You didn't understand it in full, but every step you made it in the name of Jesus. And when you step out on faith and you obey the name of Jesus, the Lord will bless you beyond your ability to handle. Do I have anybody who's not ashamed of the Lord, who don't mind standing on your feet and high-fiving somebody and said, neighbor, if you want to know how I got it, if you want to know how I'm doing well, you ought to tell them the Lord did it. Come on, shake somebody's hand and tell them, neighbor, if you want to know how I'm doing it and why I'm doing so well, the Lord did it. And the Lord is doing it. I want to ask you my question, and then I'm going to my seat. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, why don't you spin around and tell somebody that he's all right with me? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I'm his own. I thank God for Jesus, because it don't make sense, but he did it anyway. He was whipped all night long. He was marched up the Via Dolorosa. He was hung between two thieves. He died on that cross. Thanks be to God that death couldn't hold him. He was only here for Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday at noon, and Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, he got out of the grave with all power. If you know he got up with all power, slip your hand in your neighbor's hand and reel and rock. Rock and reel and said, neighbor, I know he got up because he's up in me. And every time I turn around, he's blessing me. Every time I think of the goodness of the Lord,
in all that he's done for me. My soul cries out, thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
The doors of the Lord's house. Thanks to God. If you're here today and you're not saved, come. Give the Lord your life. Obeying against all odds. Bless you. Come today. If you're not saved, come today. Need of a church home, come today. If you need to be restored, come on. Come on, come on, come on. The doors. You can come by ladder. Christian Experience, a candidate for baptism. Come on. Come on. The Lord said come. Come. I said come. Dr. Walker. Brother McCoy. Deacons and trustees. Says come. Fire said come. The congregants said come. Come today. You need to be saved. Come today. If you need to be restored, come today if you need a church home. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Give me something, Joe. Give me something. Come on. Come on. As the men chorus minister to us, come on. Doors of the Lord's house, thank you, God. Come today while you have time. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
Oh, let's hear it again.
This is your time. This is your day.
Come,
this is your opportunity.
Come.
The Yellens, you both come by Christian Experience. That means you're already saved. You accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior. But to be a member here, we have orientation to assimilate you into the ministry of the church. And we don't want you to just be a pew member, but we want you to be a working member. Being that we have orientation, we ask that if you would be willing to
participate in orientation at 9:20 on Sunday morning from 9:20 to 10:20. Will you do that? Amen. Amen. Again, I'll be around there in orientation, and we'll talk a little further about what we do here at New Bethlehem and how involved we want you to be. Amen. Father, we thank you for these two that have come, that you have sent our way to be a part of our church, our ministry. We pray that you bless them, lift them, Lord, and edify us, Lord, through their partnership, Lord, through their service unto you. Thank you for moving up on their hearts to come and obey your voice. Lord, now we pray that they experience the promised blessings that are attached to your command. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Come on, bless the Lord again.
Everybody sing, yeah. Amen. Everybody sing. Everybody sing.
May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ Jesus, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Go in peace. Let the Spirit of the Lord be your guide. Every heart say amen.